Mi gente, you already know who it is. It's the Radioactive Pop with Danny Limelight, United Wrestling Network World Heavyweight Champion. And make sure you tune into the Alliance Blog every week. You heard it here first. Straight from Poppy.
The last time the NWA World Heavyweight Championship was defended in Japan was when Tim Storm defended the 10 pounds of gold against Ryota Hama for Diamond Star Wrestling in Tokyo. That was back in February of 2017, prior to the Lightning One era of the NWA. My name is Jay Cow, and this is the Alliance Blog Podcast, and I'm talking about the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship in Japan for a specific reason, because our very own World's Heavyweight Champion, the reigning, defending, the Overman, EC3, is heading back, well, he is heading to Japan, in fact, he's heading to All Japan Pro Wrestling, to bring the 10 pounds of gold in a title defense against Ryuki Honda this May 29th. It's coming up. It's weeks away. And the reason why that's so exciting is because for a very long time, the 10 pounds of gold had some strong significance with All Japan Pro Wrestling. So NWA fans should rejoice because it's kind of like a return to arms for the NWA. Now, this is just a one match that's been announced. There has been no official partnership announced or anything strategic. But you have to go back to all the way to 1957. That was the date, October 7th, 1957. That was the date that Lou Thesz first introduced the NWA and its World Heavyweight Championship to Japan. When he battled convincingly the grandfather of Puro Wrestling, Ricky Dozen, in Ricky Dozen's Japanese Wrestling Association in Tokyo. Now, that match took place on October 7, 1957, and that's some 68 years ago. So we're rapidly approaching 70 years of the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship being defended in Japan. And it's been defended in a lot of places, like Japanese Wrestling Association, after Ricky Dozen passed away. It spent many years with All Japan Pro Wrestling. It spent some time with New Japan Pro Wrestling, IWA Japan, UFO 01, and of course, most recently with Diamond Star Wrestling. But if you're interested in Japanese pro wrestling, if you're interested in the 10 pounds of gold going to Japan, then I suggest you listen to the rest of this podcast, as we're going to do a deep dive on the 10 pounds of gold in Japan, and you should listen after this. Times are tough now, guys, and it's no joke out here. That's why I'm very proud to be partnering with the Upside app. They're leveling the playing field, guys. They're giving you opportunities to earn cash back on purchases for groceries, purchases for gasoline, purchases for food. These are the things we all spend our money on all the time. I believe in Upside. I use Upside weekly. My lifetime earnings is over $408. And you too can be earning cash back on your Philips, your groceries, or your eating out experiences just by signing up. And it's free. By using my invite code JASON75338, that's JASON75338, you'll earn $5 cash back on your first Philips. Use the link in the video description or download the app, but make sure you use that invite code JASON75338 and make money by using the Upside app. Ryuki Honda will challenge EC3 for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship on Wednesday, May 29th at the Korakuen Hall in Tokyo, Japan. That's like less than 2 weeks away. Honda is a signed All Japan Pro wrestler. Predominantly, he works as a tag team wrestler. He and Shotaro Ashino were the All Japan Pro Wrestling World Tag Team Champions in 2022. The 25-year-old has been teaming with current Triple Crown champion Yuma Anzani as the new period. But our friend Doty gave us a little bit of insight on Honda's background as he debuted in 2018 in Wrestle 1, trained by Keiji Moto, also known as the Great Muta. He moved to All Japan Pro Wrestling after Wrestle 1 closed in 2020. Like I said, he did win the tag titles with Shotaro Oshino, and that's also another wrestler who debuted with Wrestle 1. And during his recent Champion Carnival, he scored 4, but mostly lost. But with his win was against Yuma Azani, the Triple Crown, and his regular tag team partner. I guess what's important to know about this is he is a very hungry challenger. We did put up the press conference on the alliance-wrestling.com page. You can check it out there. But really, this marks the first time that an NWA World's Heavyweight Champion has been defended in All Japan since Ricky the Dragon Steamboat defended the title against Tiger Mask 2 in 1989. All Japan served as an NWA member from the late 70s to the 80s with Giant Baba, the founder of All Japan Pro Wrestling. And, Baba, his significance in Japanese pro wrestling, of course, he is the first Japanese-born wrestler to hold the 10 pounds of gold, and he held it 3 times. But again, getting back to the NWA, the World's Heavyweight Champion was first introduced to Japan back in 57 when Luthez defended against the grandfather of Puro Resu, Riki Dozen. And I won't pretend to be an expert about Riki Dozen, but he did spend many formative years wrestling for the NWA in Hawaii and in San Francisco, even earning a number one contenders match against the World's Heavyweight Champion Luthez. That match happened in Hawaii. It did so well that they ended up running it back in Japan for the Japanese Wrestling Association, which was Riki Dozen's own wrestling promotion. That kind of served as an alliance to the NWA in the Far East. But after his passing, his two top proteges would launch rival wrestling promotions, All Japan and New Japan. Over the years, both promotions would showcase NWA champions. Like I said, Giant Baba had challenged for the title multiple times, winning the title on 3 separate occasions. Even though Antonio Inoki never won the title, obviously the 10 pounds of gold, the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, was something that he respected and valued, as he would make that a title that was defended not only in New Japan, but in his other wrestling promotions like the UFO. Also, it was defended in 01 when he still had the NWA membership, and featured in Japan, in New Japan, quite frequently, along with the other NWA titles. Now, the 10 pounds of gold has been held by 8 different Japanese-born pro wrestlers. There have been more title defenses in Japan than any other country besides the United States. 8 Japanese-born men defended the title a total of 15 times since 1957. Giant Baba won the title twice in the 70s, defeating Jack Briscoe and Harley Race. Baba would win the title for a third time against Harley Race in 1980, cementing his legacy with the 3 short reigns. What's interestingly enough, though, is although Baba only held the title a short amount of time, he does still have the record for most title defenses in Japan from a Japanese-born wrestler. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was the last NWA World's Heavyweight Champion to defend the title in 89, and that would kind of be the last time we'd see the title in All Japan Pro Wrestling when the 90s kicked off. New Japan became a second home to the NWA, signaling the end of that working relationship with All Japan. Tatsumi Fujinami would win the title in 1991 at the Starrcade event. That was an event co-promoted by New Japan Pro Wrestling and WCW. Now, the New Japan office, they recognized Fujinami as the World's Heavyweight Champion, as the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, while WCW protested that title victory and continued to recognize only Ric Flair. And at Super Brawl in 1991, Flair would win the rematch, ending the disputed status of the World's Heavyweight Championship. But again, Fujinami was only the second Japanese-born wrestler at the time to hold the 10 pounds of gold. Well, back then it wasn't the 10 pounds of gold. It was the golden belt that's also synonymous with the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. And then controversy kind of picked up after Flair left WCW for the WWE. New Japan was tasked with crowning a new World's Heavyweight Champion. That tournament would end. Now, if you guys remember, WCW would eventually leave the NWA because the WCW wanted to put the world title on Rick Rude. But that was later. I'm getting ahead of myself. Masahiro Chono and Rick Rude would be the finals for the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship at the 1992 G1 Climax. Chono made defenses in WCW and in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He would drop the title in January of 93 to the great Muda. Muda only held the title a short time before losing the title to Barry Windham a month later. However, before the end of the summer of 93, both New Japan Pro Wrestling and WCW would depart the NWA. At this point, the NWA's World Heavyweight Championship had lost quite a bit of luster, but this would create some exciting opportunities for the return of the 10 pounds of gold. As the fates would align for the NWA, Shane Douglas famously won the 10 pounds of gold, then declaring the NWA dead while tossing the title down to the floor, disrespecting former world champions like Ric Flair, Lou Thesz, Rick Steamboat, the Fat Man Dusty Rhodes, etc., etc., etc. But interestingly enough, Chris Candido would win the tournament as a crowned a world champion for a second time, and then would end up dropping that belt to a UFC strongman, Dan Severn. Now, Dan Severn was gaining notoriety in mixed martial arts, also in the UFC, specifically having won Super Fight Championships in UFC number 5. So Dan Severn was a hot commodity when the NWA put the 10 pounds of gold on Severn. It was a revitalization for the NWA. Now, even back in 95, there was still a lot of wrestling going on, and Dan Severn would be competing mostly in the U.S. for promotions in the Southwest and Dennis Corluzzo's NWA up in the Northeast. However, he would defend the 10 pounds of gold against Tarzan Goto at the IWA Japan event at Kawasaki Stadium in Kanagawa, Japan. Severn would later defend the title against the Great Kabuki in September of 97, it also in the IWA. The next day, he would also wrestle against Leatherface. Or excuse me, not the next day, but a month later, he would wrestle against Leatherface. Again, bringing that title to Japan, having defended the title 3 times for IWA Japan. Severn would return to Japan for a 4th time to face Noya Ogawa for Antonio Inoki's UFO. Now, UFO was more of a shoot-based wrestling promotion, and Ogawa is a former Japanese Olympic medalist for judo. Ogawa would continue to defend the title both in the United States while also defending in Japan. In fact, he is the last known NWA World Champion to defend in the Netherlands. But in the summer of 2000, the NWA Board of Directors filed to strip Ogawa of the championship for a lack of defenses and crowned a new champion in September. Now, this was kind of surprising because, again, Ogawa was suffering from an injury, but they could not come to an agreement on dates and everything else, so they stripped him. That enters Shinya Hashimoto. Now, Hashimoto had been chasing Ogawa previously, trying to get a matchup with him, following him to the United States, following him everywhere he went, but never getting that match. They did have one match in New Japan Pro Wrestling that ended very poorly for Hashimoto. Some people believe that Ogawa went into business for himself. Later in life, those two became pals and actually worked many matches together as a tag team. But during that time, it was very controversial, and it was kind of a black eye for both New Japan Pro Wrestling and the NWA. But when Hashimoto had the opportunity to challenge for that title again, he jumped on it. Now, he was the last of the three musketeers from New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's Masahiro Chono, that's the Great Muta, and Hashimoto. They were like the next generation of New Japan Pro Wrestling in the early 90s. So when Hashimoto finally got his opportunity to wrestle for the title, he jumped at it. He had the title in the U.S., having defeated Steve Corino and Gary Steele in a triple threat match. But then he would take the title back to his home promotion, 01, which again, that was Antonio Inoki's designated wrestling promotion that had NWA affiliation. Hashimoto's reigns were very brief. He did come to, like I said, he would return to Japan, defended the title against Nathan Jones, who later would go on to join the WWE briefly before having a Hollywood career. And then Hashimoto would face Dan Severn in a match that many people were excited about. But that match kind of just really was a just a way of getting the belt off of Hashimoto. And fans of the NWA at the time thought that that meant that Dan Severn would be taking that title to wrestle in TNA Wrestling. But we were fooled. We were duped. They took the title off of Hashimoto to put the belt on Dan Severn and then crowned a new champion with Ken Shamrock. That time when TNA had basically control of the 10 pounds of gold, there wasn't a lot of NWA activity in Japan. Now, I mean, I did kind of jump around there. The 10 pounds of gold was the title that kind of was dormant. But we do know that the in Japan during that time, you know, there was the junior heavyweight title. You know, going back to 97, the junior heavyweight title being a part of the New Japan Super Crown, the octuplet championship. And, of course, the tag titles had made appearances there as well. But the 10 pounds of gold, the world's heavyweight champion, was kind of on hiatus during the TNA time. In fact, after TNA, the first world's heavyweight champion to take the title to Japan was Blue Demon. Now, Blue Demon wrestled a match in Japan as world champion. In fact, he teamed with Ultimo Dragon for like an anniversary show, but he didn't defend the title while he was there. That honor would be That honor would be bestowed upon friend of the show. You know him, you love him, the Sheik. The Sheik actually is the first wrestler to take the title back to Japan after Hashimoto had passed away. The Sheik, in fact, oddly enough, brought the title to 01 in 2011. And then, you know, he was shortly after that, he was forced to vacate the championship. He did that under protest and for some time proclaimed to be, you know, world champion while he was not. That also seemingly ended the relationship between 01 and the NWA. Now, a lot of people are familiar with the Tokyo Monster Kahagis, who claims Japanese ancestry but was not born in Japan, nor did he have an opportunity to defend the 10 pounds of gold in Japan while he was champion. So for the course of this conversation, I did not really include him as the eight Japanese-born pro wrestlers. And if you're keeping score right now, so the first one, obviously, was Giant Baba. And then after Giant Baba was Tatsumi Fujinami. Then we had Masahiro Chono, the Great Muta, Noya Ogawa, and then Shinya Hashimoto. The next world heavyweight champion to be from Japanese, from born in Japan, would be discovered shortly after the relationship, the ownership of the NWA changed. It went from the Pro Wrestling Organization to the International Wrestling Corporation, which was headed by Bruce Tharp. Bruce Tharp was able to get a working agreement with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And under the guidance of Bruce Tharp, he would take a NWA contingency to Japan to showcase the NWA and defend its titles. Now, Rob Conway became World's Heavyweight Champion by defeating Kahagis for the 10 pounds of gold. And shortly after that, would head to Japan he would be involved in a feud with Kojima, where, you know, when I say feud, I'm kind of overstating it. It was just the NWA showing up and Bruce Tharp kind of making a mockery of New Japan Pro Wrestling. While in Japan, Conway would defend against Kojima, Naganishi, Jushin Thunder Liger, but at Wrestle Kingdom 8, Conway would lose the 10 pounds of gold to Satoshi Kojima. Kojima is currently the MLW World Heavyweight Champion and currently the MLW World Tag Team Champion. Kojima might have been the most successful of NWA World Heavyweight Champions in the modern era, as he defended against an NWA contingent in Japan, also was the only Japanese-born World Heavyweight Champion to defend in the UK, and came across the States where he would defend against Damian Wayne, Jeremiah Plunkett, and Carson before losing the title back to Conway. However, Conway's return to New Japan was very short-lived, as his first opponent would be Kojima's tag team partner in Hiroyoshi Tenzin. Tenzin would win the title on Valentine's Day 2015. Tenzin would have a few less defenses of the 10 pounds of gold before ultimately losing the title to Jack Stain. So there you have it. Like, you know, we mentioned six other former champions, and then you add Kojima and Tenzin to that list. And then Tim Storm would be the last of the World Heavyweight Champions to defend in Japan against Ryota Hama for the Diamond Star Wrestling in Tokyo. Now, getting back to the relationship with All Japan Pro Wrestling and the significance of that is because of those 80 title defenses in Japan, most of those matches happened in All Japan Pro Wrestling. There was just over 60 title defenses, or excuse me, not quite 60, more like about 50 title defenses from 1974 to 1989. And that's pretty significant because you think about all those title matches with Ric Flair or Kerry Von Erich or Harley Race or Giant Baba or Terry Funk or Jack Briscoe or even Gene Kaninsky. All those happened in an All Japan Pro Wrestling ring from 74 to 89. That's pretty significant. And that's probably the closest relationship that the NWA has had in Japan. Now, you know, the relationship they had with New Japan, like I said, was interesting and made a lot of sense at the time. But, I mean, even when you look at All Japan Pro Wrestling, that Triple Crown is made up of two NWA championships, the international title and the I don't remember the other one. But needless to say, the title has a very strong significance in the land of the rising sun. And if this does lead to a relationship with All Japan Pro Wrestling, I think this is the best partnership opportunity for the NWA. And when you talk about somebody like EC3 as opposed to some of the other former champions, I feel like EC3 makes a lot of sense in an All Japan Pro Wrestling ring. You know, he isn't as cartoony as somebody like Matt Cardona, per se. And although I feel like Trevor Murdoch would have made a great addition to the All Japan roster, you know, maybe his loyalty was more with Pro Wrestling Noah, considering their relationship with Harley Race over the years. Needless to say, I'm super excited about May 29th. I hope you are too. I can't wait to see what happens. Obviously, there have not been very many Japanese-born NWA World Champions, and I think that, you know, I don't think that trend is going to change very much, but what a way to shock the world if it did, right? Also on that card, Odinson will be there in Japan as he reunites with Paro as the end return to All Japan Pro Wrestling. Paro and Odinson had been a very dominant tag team in All Japan Pro Wrestling prior to them joining up with the NWA post-pandemic. Paro kind of fell out of favor with the NWA, and we saw Paro kind of disappear from the limelight that is the National Wrestling Alliance. And most recently, Odinson has been teaming with Kratos. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Paro, if that's going to translate to a return to the NWA. Actually, I wouldn't mind that at all. I wouldn't mind that at all. And if there is a continuing relationship that evolves from this one title defense, that will be pretty cool. But you'll have to also add this to the equation, because Although Nick Aldis, who many have cemented as this era's greatest world's heavyweight champion because he took the title to Australia and he took the title to China and he took the title all throughout North America and headlined, what wasn't the headline, but some people considered to be the main event of All In with Cody Rhodes. I mean, Nick Aldis gets so many accolades for his persistence with the NWA and his contributions for the National Wrestling Alliance. But now we need to start talking about, the Overman, because now if EC3 is the first world heavyweight champion to defend in All Japan since Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, there is a direct correlation, a linkage, historical connectivity to one of the greatest wrestlers of all time in Ricky Steamboat. And if he's the first champion to bring the belt to All Japan, the same place where, Jack Briscoe, Harley Race, Ric Flair, Kerry Von Erich all defended Ricky Steamboat. I mean, there's some direct correlation to some of the best in the history of the NWA. And we need to start making that case that maybe EC3 is that guy. Maybe he's the guy that's going to be the difference maker for the NWA. We saw what Nick Aldis did, and I'm not trying to minimize his contributions, but let's compare what EC3 is doing now. EC3 is scheduled to be heading to Australia. EC3 is still, like I said, heading to All Japan Pro Wrestling. He's taking the title to the UK. He's taking the title to Canada. Outside of a trip to Mexico, which he's been to Mexico, just hasn't defended the 10 pounds of gold. What has he done? What has he done that hasn't been done by, I'm messing it up. What has Nick Aldis done that EC3 hasn't followed suit? And again, there's a big difference between, working for the NWA in China and being requested to defend the title in All Japan Pro Wrestling. So take that with a grain of salt, guys. I appreciate you listening to this short episode of the Alliance Blog Podcast. If you like it, please hit that comment, like, subscribe button, share it on your favorite platform. And until next time, we'll see you at the matches. Thank you for tuning in to the Alliance Blog Podcast, a presentation of alliance-wrestling.com, the premier source for news and information for the National Wrestling Alliance. Would you consider subscribing so you never miss a new episode? You can follow us on all social media at the Alliance Blog, and we stream live on Twitch, Kick, and YouTube every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 5 p.m., 6 p.m., and 8 p.m. Eastern at the Alliance Blog. Until then, we are the Alliance.